Welcome to In Season, where we explore the farms and gardens of the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm your host, Teresa Retzloff, and with me in the studio today, I have two of Clatsop County's master gardeners, Joni Chappell and Nancy Leonard. Welcome, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, Teresa.
And we are talking today about, about an upcoming event, but also just kind of about the topic of the upcoming event as well, which is winterizing your garden. So this is an event that's coming up really soon. Nancy, do you want to tell them the date of when this is going to happen?
Yes, Saturday, September 30th. It's at the fairgrounds.
At the Clatsop County Fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. And this is an event that's going to be all about how to get your garden ready for winter, which I feel like we were getting a preview of this in the last few days. It's been a pretty abrupt change from a hot, dry summer to now some very cool, wet weather. And so this is a really good time to start thinking about pivoting and looking at the end of summer in your garden and transitioning to fall. So, Joni, I know you started this event. We were talking earlier before the show started. You started this event about 10 years ago,
yes,
right?
10 years ago, 2007, this month, at the Flavelle House.
Yeah, I remember. It was a very small event.
Very small.
but your motivation was really good. And maybe tell us a little bit, why did you think this was important?
Well, at that time, I was still a student. I hadn't even graduated as a certified master gardener. And I had heard about this program down in Lane County, mm-hmm. Their Master Gardener Association. And I thought I would look into it. And I found that the Flavelle House was available, uh-huh. and it was outdoors. And I thought, well, it might be a great place to bring people together, mm-hmm. and teach them.
Yeah.
You know, about winterizing your garden.
Yeah.
And that's how it all started.
Yeah. And it's gone on from there. I know you guys mentioned that you've done it outside of the demonstration garden out at the fairgrounds a few years. And then you finally moved it indoors.
Yes.
We got tired of being rained out.
So it's indoors at the Clatsop County Fairgrounds. And it's really expanded over time. Maybe tell us a little bit about what kind of activities are going to happen at the event.
This year we're having the Home and Garden Treasure Sale again that went well last year. A lot of people enjoyed that along with our...
So explain what that is.
We have lots of master gardeners that donate gardening things and some things just for your home that uh-huh. you might enjoy, not necessarily garden related.
Okay. So it's just like a sale of
yes.
kind of like a really fun yard sale
yes.
of fun mm-hmm. garden and home
it
items.
It is.
Okay, great.
Exactly.
And plants as
and
well?
And plants as well.
Wonderful.
Yes.
So yeah.
There'll be lots of pots and plants and treasures you have to see.
Treasures you have to see. That sounds fantastic. Well, I'm definitely going to check that out. I can always use more stuff like that. And then you've got speakers and you've got yes. activities. So tell
yes.
us a little bit about that as well.
Okay, yes. Well, you're going to do one of our
I know.
Our first guests.
Yeah, I know. It's supposed to be, and I feel like this is kind of a reunion, Joni, we were talking about earlier, because I was at your very first one 10
oh,
years
you
ago.
Were. I just showed
that
you
was
those
fun.
Pictures.
Me, and also Chuck Meyer as well,
yeah.
who's going to be one of
yes.
the speakers. So
all three of us were there 10 years ago.
Exactly. So it's a reunion of sorts. So
yeah.
I'm going to do an overview, kind of talking about how to get your garden ready for winter. And there's lots of things that you can do to help get your garden through winter. There's things you can grow through the winter, which is great. Mm-hmm. But just ways to kind of set yourself up so that next spring you're going to be in much better shape. So that's kind of my spiel. And then Joni, if you don't know about Joni Chappell and her dahlias, you should, because she's amazing, the amazing dahlia grower out at Highway 202 and award-winning dahlia grower as well.
Yes.
Very, very many awards in your
yes.
closet from all the dahlias that you've grown. So you're going to be talking about dahlias and what to do about dahlias this time of year.
Yes.
So what are some of the things that you should
okay.
do?
Well, to winterize your dahlias, there's many, many different methods out there. Some of them work and some of them don't, because I've tried various ways of putting your dahlias to bed for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost dozens and dozens of dahlias because they've either frozen or they got too wet. I'm going to discuss the various methods that people can use here on the coast to store their dahlias over the winter to protect them so they'll come back and bloom next year.
Yeah. Are you a digger up or a store in the ground?
I am a store in the ground because I have dug them up in the fall and did everything by the book and then lost every one of them.
Yeah.
So it's very, very tricky. And
it
I
is.
Cover them up.
I know. I've done both. I usually end up digging up one of, like, there's certain varieties that I grow that I've had for years. I don't even know the name of it anymore. And I'm so scared of losing them to a freeze that I it's like insurance. I leave a couple in the ground and I dig a couple up and I figure I'm hedging my bets. You know, I'm going to. Although last winter I left everything in the ground because I just ran out of time. And then we had that terrible cold, wet winter.
In January, it was
horrible. Lost a lot. Did you
lose? I lost 50 of them in January, but I had 80 of them that survived.
Well, that's
but
cool.
It gave me an opportunity to buy 45 new dahlias this year.
So it's always, oh, there's a silver lining.
More space, more space.
I was able to replace them with some of the newer varieties, the new show dahlias that I wanted anyway. So
it just gave you an excuse to go shopping.
I loved it.
I know. Well, it's hard because there are so many. I mean, Nancy, you were saying that there's so many dahlias out there. It's amazing the breeding that's happening, the colors, the sizes, the shapes and sizes. And, you know, you kind of want them all. Well, maybe not all of them, but there's a lot. I could have like 2 acres of dahlias and probably still not have enough.
Yeah, Teresa, I have, you know, right now I have 130 of them blooming. There are 15,000 varieties of dahlias out there, and there's 19 different classifications.
Yeah.
So you could never have too many dahlias.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm going to be expanding my planting for next year.
Good.
Well, they're such a great cut flower for me for our farm. We
it
make
is
a lot of bouquets, and they're so generous.
Especially the pom-poms. The real small ones are so easy to
those.
Grow.
Yeah, they're really great. So and dahlias, I think, also are a great plant for out here on the coast because generally deer leave them alone.
Deer never eat mine, and I'm overrun with deer out there.
And I don't know why. I don't know whether they just don't taste good, because it's not that they're poisonous to them, but they just kind of don't like them.
There's no fragrance, for one thing.
Yep, and it's the fragrance.
The deer will eat all my lilies. They eat my gladiolas. They eat everything.
They love roses.
Even my hostas, which don't have any fragrance, but they don't mess with my dahlias, so I feel pretty safe growing as many as I have.
So if you want a lot of color in your garden and beautiful blooms and kind of everything that I think we get from roses in some ways, but without the heartbreak as much, you just have a lot of slug issues with dahlias.
Slug issue.
Yeah, but you know, but
it's only in the beginning. You have to be so diligent when they start out. But
when
once they reach a certain level.
Yeah, they can kind of fight it off.
They can. You don't have to be as diligent.
Yeah.
But they will kill your dahlia if you're not
the
on
slugs,
top of
yeah.
it. When it starts, the first come break through the ground, if you're not on top of it, I've had dahlias literally killed by slugs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They never came up.
I know. I've had a lot of friends that have over time said, oh, you know, I think my dahlias must have died over the winter because they're not coming back. And I said, you know, maybe put a little sluggo out around the crown and see what happens. And then the next week, boom, the dahlias are up. So it really is something to pay attention to. But so you'll be talking people through ways to store your dahlias. Are you going to talk about digging them up?
Because
that's part. Because I know some people like to do that too, and dividing them. I still feel kind of unsure of myself in dividing.
I am going to do a demonstration on digging up a dahlia at this time and dividing it and storing it. I will do a demonstration.
I'm going to be paying close attention because I still feel like I'm learning on that. I do it, and I was like, I don't know. Somehow most of it works, but sometimes it doesn't. And
they're real tricky.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just
trying to find the eyes.
It's not obvious.
No, but I think it's one of those things where, like, with a lot of gardening, you know, if you've never done it before, it can be very intimidating. And the first time you do it, you're probably going to make some mistakes. And you're going to screw it up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But then you learn and you get better at it and you can do it with more confidence.
Mm-hmm. It's really hard to see the eyes, and a lot of dahlias I think are duds because I can't find anything that looks like there's any life on it. So my husband takes them out, and we have an acre out behind our park where I call it the graveyard, and my husband puts these dahlias in the ground because they're duds. Chances are 50% of them come up and bloom, and I thought they were no good, and they bloomed anyway.
I've had some that I would have sworn were completely dead, and they've come back. So,
they come back.
It's, you definitely
have to have.
I know. So definitely, if you're interested in dahlias, this is the place to come, and Joni is the person to talk to. This is going to be a really great, great event for that. And then we've got one more speaker, Chuck Meyer, who's going to be talking about tool care and tool sharpening. And this is a really key thing that I think a lot of people, including myself, I'm going to raise my hand here and say, neglect to do.
Me too.
And, you know, you've been abusing your tools all summer long. And now is the time to really think about how to store them for the winter, bring them inside, treat those handles, sharpen them and clean them. and really take care of them, because some tools can really last you a long time if you take care of them.
They don't get rusted.
If they don't get rusted and the handles stay oiled and you care for them. And so again, I'm gonna sit in on this one and really try to remind myself about
it. He's an expert on that.
Yes, and one thing I've learned is he says if you can't properly take care of them, at least wiping them dry after you use them is one small thing that I've learned. Just do that much. And that helps throughout the season.
And sometimes it's good to be reminded by that, because I think we often feel kind of anxious and like, oh, I can't do it perfectly, so I'm a complete failure. And it's like, you know, as long as you can just do a little bit, just bring your tools in out of the rain.
Yes.
You know, step number one. You know, again, raising my hand here, like thinking, I know Saturday I was busy working on it, you know, making a bunch of flower bouquets for a special event. And my husband, Packy, was like trawling all over the farm looking for all the various things I left outside before the rain started. And it was kind of shocking and embarrassing how much was out there. So, so just bring things in out of the rain.
Exactly.
That's a start.
Yes.
So I know you're also going to have activities for kids as well.
Yes, we haven't done that before. And we do it at our Spring into Gardening event in the spring. And we're going to have some really great fall theme events for children and
That's
families.
So great. I know I see more and more families gardening together and parents and kids kind of working on garden spaces together. And it just seems like such a great activity for kids.
They really enjoy it.
Yeah.
They're very enthusiastic.
Yeah. Good experience.
It is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I think, you know, we keep hearing about how great it is for kids to spend time outdoors. And so anything that kind of builds that enthusiasm and maybe can help people look at gardening as something that's fun rather than
work.
A chore. Yeah. I mean, it's hard because there's definitely chores involved with gardening, and there's things that you have to do that maybe aren't as much fun. But there's a lot of fun stuff, too, you know, and some of it's just getting dirty and getting wet, you know, which for kids, I know certainly the kids that come visit me on the farm, that seems to be their key thing. It's like, how dirty can I get? How wet can I get? Yeah. I have a set of pots set aside that I let them water, because they're just going to water them to death. But, you know, they love like filling up a little watering can and watering it and then filling it up again and then watering that same plant again and then filling it up again and watering that same plant again. I'm like, okay. And watering it again. I'm like, okay, great. Move on to a new. No, I'm watering it one more time. You know, so I think, you know, allowing for that to happen, can be so great. So, and Master Gardeners will also be there offering advice. And this is a key thing that Master Gardeners do, is provide garden advice and support to community gardeners. So, is the Master Gardener hotline still going on? Like the open hours at the can you tell us a little bit about that? And you may not know the exact dates and times, but just what is that? So at the OSU Extension office,
right? I believe it's Tuesday and
Thursday from 12 to 3. I believe
so. Yeah. They might break for lunch, but yeah, they'll answer any questions. You can bring things into the office, and they'll do research to find the answer to your question if they don't know it right then.
Yeah.
And
I remember doing that when I was a trainee Master Gardeners, and I learned so much and really enjoyed those hours. So if you don't know where the OSU Extension office is, it's on Marine Drive at the OSU Seafood Center, kind of upstairs, opposite the Maritime Museum in Astoria. And like Nancy was saying, you can, if you have a plant or maybe a weed that you can't identify, or a plant that's got some damage and you're not sure what's doing it, you can always take a sample of it, put it in a Ziploc bag, and bring it into the office and have Master Gardeners look at it, see if they can figure out what it is. They can do some research. They also have like OSU extension service at their beck and call to help them figure these things out if they can't figure it out.
Exactly.
And so that's a really...
And great publications
and
that are
really
available.
Good publications, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you have questions, that's a great resource to turn to first. And then you can also call the extension office and ask those questions over the phone.
And we have a booth at the Sunday Astoria Market. People probably have seen it if they're local.
And that's another thing, too. If you're going to Sunday Market and you got a question, or maybe you've got this, you know, damaged plant or something weird's happening, bring it in and show them. And that's a great way, because sometimes it really helps to see it.
It does. Makes a huge difference.
It's much easier for us to actually see what they're talking about. They'll come in and say, I got a plant with holes in the leaves, and we're supposed to tell them what's making the holes.
If you don't know what the plant is?
They're not even sure what the plant is. Yeah. I mean, so we ask them
to bring a sample, a picture.
Sometimes they take a picture on their smartphone and they'll show it to us. Mm-hmm. Nancy and I just did Sunday Market, and people they show us a picture, we have a better chance of defining their problem.
Yeah, that's really important.
And if we can't find the answer at Sunday Market, they'll take it and research it and get back to the person.
They'll call them at home and tell them what the answer is if we can find it.
Yeah. So we had a call, and Ingrid says, I guess we're talking about slugs, put the slug bait in the bushes where the slugs hide. That way they never make it to the dahlias. Thanks, Ingrid. That is a good reminder.
I love Ingrid. She's a master gardener.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ingrid.
A good reminder. And that's true also. And I think just to circle back to slugs, I think understanding where they're hiding in your garden is a key thing. And that really is where you should put your slug bait. If you have like stones in your garden or pathways or bushes or things like that where slugs go to hide at night, that's a really good place to like kind of put a little bit out there so that when they emerge, that's the first thing they hit. They'll snack on the slug bait and then, you know, they may go on to do a little bit more damage, but it'll get them.
Yes.
I know. I still always remember when I went through Master Gardeners, when we were doing the pests class. And it was, you know, it was a lot of entomology, a lot of bugs, and, you know, it got a little bit dry, and everyone was a little bit snoozy. It must have been after lunch. But then the topic turned to killing slugs, and the whole class came alive with excitement. And it was like, we were all talking about, like, how do you like to kill slugs? I'm like, I like to stab them on a chopstick, and I like to cut them in half and sprinkle salt on them, and I throw them in the road so a car can drive over them. It was just vicious. And I'm like, oh, my God. But it was amazing how excited people got about it, which just tells you how much of a challenge this is. So before we go much further,
how
I just want to
hate them.
I know we do. I want to remind everybody that you are listening to Coast Community Radio at KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM and KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM, and we're streaming at coastradio.org. And you can also listen on your mobile device using the TuneIn app. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to In Season, and today my guests are Master Gardeners Joni Chappell and Nancy Leonard, and we are talking about winterizing your garden, which is both a topic I think that most gardeners are talking about right now, especially as the weather has shifted and the rains have come, but also an event that Clatsop County Master Gardeners are hosting at the fairgrounds on September 30th. And remind me again about the time.
It's from 10 to 3.
10 to 3. And where can people find out more information about this event? Is there anything online? Is it Master Gardeners' Facebook page? I think Clatsop County Master Gardeners have a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And I know there was just an article in the Hip Fish about this event.
We'll be in the Coast Weekend next Thursday.
Okay, and so you can look for Coast Weekend. Mm-hmm. And if you want to find out a little bit more and the times of the speakers, if there's certain topics you want to talk about, there's going to be talk about just winterizing your garden in general with me, your host, Teresa Retzloff. And then Joni and that's going to be at 10:30.
Yes.
And Joni at 12:30, you're going to be talking about dahlias. Mm-hmm. Everything about dahlias. And then at 2, Chuck Myers is going to be talking about cleaning, sharpening, and storing garden tools.
Correct.
We have another thing to add to. Chuck actually is coming in at noon, and from 12 to 2, he is going to sharpen tools for the guests, bring in a couple pairs of pruners that you would like to have sharpened.
Oh, wow.
And there's no charge for it, but you can give a donation for Chuck's work, you know, which will go to the Master Garden Association.
That is
don't bring in
worth
20
it.
Pruners, but bring in 2 or 3 or 4 that need to be sharpened.
Maybe say 2.
And Chuck will do it for free.
Let's say 2.
Yes.
Yeah, 2. Yeah, I get 2 or 3 of my own to bring in.
I know.
And so we have a kitty that we'll put a donation in.
That's fantastic.
And so Chuck's going to do that from 12 to 2.
Mm-hmm. And I see you're also going to be doing soil testing.
Yeah,
so tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. We just do the pH testing. The fall is a great time to put lime on your soil if your soil is too acidic, which ours is.
You're pretty much guaranteed to have acidic soil out here because of this heavy rainfall that we have.
Exactly. And we have information about what pH you want your soil to be depending on what you're growing.
Yeah.
Because you may not need to do anything. If you're growing blueberries, they love an acidic soil.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key thing to know. Like, if depending on what you want to plant, you may or may not want to apply lime
exactly
in the the fall. But lime takes a long time to break down and become available to plant. So it's good to put it out now.
Exactly.
And then it can be breaking down over the winter.
I put in the fast-acting lime on my dahlias in the fall. Mm-hmm. So it's breaking down the whole winter.
Yeah. Yes. And then they'll be ready for it when the plants wake up in the spring, and then that lime mm-hmm. is available. And the soil pH is a little bit better than maybe it was when you started in the fall.
Exactly. So if you bring in a cup and a half or so of your soil, we can do, it takes in about an hour, so you want to stop at that booth first and drop mm-hmm. off your soil while you look around.
How should people bring it in?
You can bring it in just like a plastic Ziploc bag. It's fine.
And here's the thing. I remember when I've gone to do soil tests for a farm, you know, they're more specific about like not using galvanized metal tools to scoop up the soil because you don't want to get any trace.
Yes.
So use like a plastic shovel,
that
maybe
would be
a plastic trowel
yes.
or something plastic.
Yes.
That's not reactive, mm-hmm. to scoop up about a cup of soil, mm-hmm. put it in your Ziploc bag, maybe put your name on the bag.
That would be great.
Name and phone number.
Yes, and then we'll put it on the cup when you come back. And if you can't stay, we can call you with the information.
Yeah, and let you know. And then that's a great way. I know there are tools available online and hopefully in person as well, because it's one thing to say, oh, my soil pH is 5.5. And well, what does that mean? And mm-hmm. if I've got a 10 by 10 foot garden space, how much lime should I put out?
Right.
Because it's, you know, more is not better.
No.
It's enough each year. Like, you need to put the appropriate amount out mm-hmm.
and
each
we have
year.
And you're able to... publications that talk mm-hmm. about that.
So you'll be able to help people calculate how much lime mm-hmm, they actually mm-hmm. need. That, honestly, is worth it to come out for right there.
Yes.
Because that's such a tricky mm-hmm. thing to get a handle on. Mm-hmm. And understanding that, especially gardening in this climate, is a really key thing. I think that's why a lot of people sort of struggle with gardens out here sometimes, mm-hmm. especially trying to grow things like vegetables or mm-hmm. fruit.
Because of the pH.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so acidic here because we get so much rain. Another thing, Teresa, it's free admission,
uh-huh.
free
that's
parking.
That's actually a good thing
you
to point out.
You can't beat that with a stick. I mean, you know, really.
This is true.
It's
completely
come one,
free
come
event.
All. It's all
yeah.
free.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, if you're a gardener and especially, I want to say, if you're relatively new to the area and you're a gardener and you know you're trying to learn how to garden in this area, I feel like this is a great way I think going through the Master Gardener program is a great way to learn about gardening in this area. But if
we
you're not able to do that,
it.
I think we're all kind of fans of this. But if you can't do that, because it is a big commitment, I understand that, coming to these events that Master Gardeners put on is a really great way to be around other gardeners, ask questions in a supportive environment. No
yes.
one's going to make you feel stupid for not knowing. And learn.
It's a wonderful resource to have in the
yeah.
community.
And will the demonstration garden be open?
It will be, yes.
For people who don't know, maybe talk a little bit about what the demonstration garden is, if you don't know what that is. Is it? It's out of the fairgrounds.
It is. And there's a list of the plants that are grown in the demo garden.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty big garden.
It is. And you can see what more mature plants look like, mm-hmm. Growing with other things. And,
yeah. If you've been out to the Clatsop County Fairgrounds in that kind of upper parking area, if you look over and there's a gazebo, a wooden gazebo, kind of before that bridge that goes across the road to the other parking area, there's a kind of a landscaped garden, and that's the demonstration garden we're talking about. So it's always worth it to walk through there and look at the plants. And it's great to see. I mean, if you're starting a new garden, or you maybe wanted to put some new plants in your garden, and you're wondering, how big is this plant going to get? Or what does it look like when it's mature?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there is a sample of it in the demonstration garden, that's a great way to know.
Right. And people struggle a lot of times with what to plant together. Mm-hmm. You want to have like things or like needs mm-hmm. of plants together. So
most of the plants in the demo gardens also are perennials.
Mm-hmm.
They winter over. A lot of them, like Lady's Mantle, mm-hmm. reproduce very rapidly.
Yeah.
If you want one plant, or if you want 30, plant Lady's Mantle, because they'll take over. They'll recede very rapidly. But you'll learn that when you go to the demo gardens.
Yeah.
There's usually someone there that can help answer your questions.
Yeah, yeah. And I just find it really helpful to walk through gardens and see things and understand, like, oh, because maybe you've read about a plant, or everyone's talked about a plant, or you're wondering if that would work for your garden. And that can be such a helpful thing to see. And also to see it at this time of year. you know, it's great to kind of stop in there, you know, stop in there at spring if you come to the Spring Garden, Spring Into Gardening event, mm-hmm. you know, if you come out to County Fair, if you come to this event, just try and stop in at the demo garden and see those plants throughout the season.
Different seasons, yes, mm-hmm. the same plant.
Exactly.
Yeah, because right. they do really change over time, and it helps you understand more about how does it look. So, so I just want to remind everyone before we finish up about this event, so Winterizing Your Garden. And this is put on by Clatsop County Master Gardeners.
Yes.
And tell us one more time, Nancy, when
it's
it is.
It's Saturday, September 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from 10 a.m. to 3.
And, yeah.
And we'll have the concession stand open. So if someone does want to come for the day and see all the speakers, they aren't going to go hungry because
okay.
there will be food available.
Okay, great. So if you want to come out and hang out with your kids, so there's kids' activities. Mm-hmm. Tool sharpening, get your soil tested, learn about a lot of different things. There's this great sale, Home and Garden Treasures sale. There'll be plants and home and garden things.
All kinds of stuff.
It's going to be so much fun. And, you know, whether it's rain or shine, it's going to be really fun, mm-hmm. a great thing to do. And just learn about getting your garden ready for winter, because there's definitely things you can do now that are going to help so much to set you up for next year. And it's not just about weeding, although weeding is definitely one of the things you should be doing right now.
Oh, I hate to weed.
I know, Joni, but if you weed now, you don't have to do it in the spring.
Yes.
Well, not as much.
Not as much.
You should see the look she's giving me. Yeah.
My weeds winter over, and then they attack me in the spring.
I know. Oh, they do. I know. I really want to thank you guys so much for coming in and talking about this.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Joni. This was really fun. And definitely, we hope to see you all at Winterizing Your Garden on September 30th.
Oh, you better be there. You're our first speaker.
Well, no, I meant the greater listening public. I was talking about that. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone for joining us on In Season. And thanks to Joanne for engineering. And we'll see you next time. Must be a book I've